World Affairs Report, 30 minutes of conversation designed to make you better aware of the world around you. The World Affairs Report is brought to you by the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh in cooperation with KQV News Radio. The World Affairs Council is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that has been bringing the world to Pittsburgh for over 80 years. To learn more about the council and upcoming events, please visit worldpittsburgh.org. And now, the World Affairs Report.
Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Anna Harrison, and with me today is Rajendra Mohis, our guest this week. He's the founder of the car rental company, Global Rent-A-Car, on the island of St. Martin. In an effort to provide visitors with an alternative to large franchises, Global Rent-A-Car provides rental cars to visitors with customer service that imparts a friendly island vibe. He also has previous experience as a high school agricultural science teacher and an audit clerk at the Audit Office of Guyana. He has been selected as one of 10 young business and social entrepreneurs from Latin America and the Caribbean to participate here in Pittsburgh as the Young Leaders of the Americas Initiative Professional Fellows Program. Also joining me today is Gail Schrott, the Acting Executive Director of Global Pittsburgh. She connects emerging international leaders in a wide range of professions to their Pittsburgh counterparts through her work as the Director of the International Leaders Program. She designs and implements itineraries of professional meetings and cultural activities for distinguished visitors invited each year to the U.S. under the auspices of the State Department's International Visitor Leadership Program and sponsored by other institutions. Rajendra and Gail, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you here. We're delighted. Gail, could you give a brief overview of the YLA Fellows Program?
Certainly. There are a total of 250 YLA Fellows that have been invited to the U.S., and Pittsburgh is one of 24 cities that are participating in the program. The project started in Atlanta, where the group had a pretty intensive several days where they're learning about the action plans that they have to complete. They have a pitch competition that is integral to the program. And then at the end of the 4 weeks in Pittsburgh, they will be going to Washington, where they will have the pitch competition. And they will all rejoin all the fellows from the other cities.
And what does the pitch competition consist of?
Well, they are each promoting their business, and there will be a prize for the national champion. That prize is $7,500, and then the next prize is $5,000, and then $2,500. So the fellows who win that will be awarded that they can apply to their businesses, to a project.
Yes, they're basically, the 250 of us, we're divided into smaller groups and sent to different city hubs across the U.S., smaller city hubs. Now, we're going to have that pitch competition in each city hub in these smaller groups, and the winners from each city hubs will be going to the pitch competition in Washington, D.C. for that final prize.
So have you been working on your pitch?
Yes, everyone has been. We had a pitch practice and so on, a coaching session where we highlighted our pitch and what we want to bring forward, and we got a little coaching from
Leah Simoncelli from Alpha Lab Gear.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
So, we're very excited.
We'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Yes.
Rajendra, what made you want to apply to the YLA Professional Fellows Program?
Well, I actually wanted to enhance my leadership capabilities and have a wider knowledge and more experience, because most of our customers as well in St. Martin, they are from the U.S.
Okay.
So we want to see what they would expect on how a larger business model in the U.S. would operate and function. Mm-hmm. So if I can adapt some of their process and procedures or in my business and so on to enhance that part of it, that would be good. And of course, my leadership abilities and so on, and creating a wider network and raising awareness for St. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people usually do not know where St. Martin is, right? Because I have the question, where is St. Martin? But yeah, I would have to say, it's behind Puerto Rico. because everyone basically knows where Puerto Rico is. So, to raise awareness of St. Martin and, raise awareness of my business as well, mm-hmm. and create this network where I can, we can actually create linkages between different leaders in the different sectors.
And for our listeners, can you explain a little bit more about the geography of St. Martin? It's two countries, right?
Yes, St. Martin is a very small island, mm-hmm. 37 square miles in together. Well, the Dutch side is smaller than the French side. Mm. So we have the two, half of it is Dutch, half is French. The Dutch side is basically 16 square miles, and the French side is 21 square miles. Now we have roughly 80,000 for the population. Yeah, but it's a very beautiful island, consists of 37 lovely beaches, yeah, where tourists love to come and see. This is, most people would know this for the attraction for the at the airport, where you would see the planes coming in.
Is it Princess Juliana?
Yeah, the Maho Beach, yes, the Princess Juliana International Airport.
I've seen a lot of photos of that.
Yes,
I've been to St. Martin once, and it was a beautiful island, beautiful beaches, and beautiful people, and very friendly. And are you from the French side or the Dutch side?
I'm on the Dutch side. I'm located right next to the airport by the runway.
Okay. Yeah. What was the application process for the Wiley program?
Well, there was an initial application where you just fill out a form, submit the application, and you're selected for the next steps. And after being selected, there's an interview, a video interview that they do so they can see how well you speak, because everyone is required to speak English. For this program, and since they're focusing on Latin America and the Caribbean, most of the Latin American countries is obviously mm-hmm. speaking Spanish, and they want the official communicating language is English for the program. So we had that interview, and then we were selected for the next step as a finalist. There were over 3,000 applications, right. and out of those applications, there were 250 of us selected.
Wow.
I'm actually the first and only person from St. Martin. Well,
congratulations.
Yeah. So when I get back, I have a responsibility to spread more
to
awareness
more.
About this program in St. Martin and get more young entrepreneurs to apply for this program for the next years.
Now we could add, this is the second year for Wiley.
Okay.
And this is the first year that Pittsburgh has participated.
Okay.
So, and I was a reader for applications.
The selection process.
And it was very interesting because people needed to have 2 years experience. That's what they wanted. And in reading the application, some people had much more established businesses, and they were, you know, not as, not the best candidates,
mm-hmm.
because this program was designed
mm-hmm.
for entrepreneurs at a different level.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we feel that we got 10 wonderful
they sound amazing.
Fellows from, and our the other fellows in the program here are from Belize, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, Peru, and Venezuela.
Yes.
What do you hope to accomplish from your visit to the United States?
Well, as I mentioned, my leadership ability and be able to expand my networking skills, create linkages with businesses here in the U.S., meet influential people, of course, and also create linkages with the other fellows from the different countries, because everyone have their own project, different project that, and in some ways we can source these help from each other to better our business or our organizations. So these are some of the real things, and to motivate me as an individual to to know how to lead, to motivate my employees, and to do everything, improve my customer service, because my business is focused mostly on customer service. Because for a global rental car, we aim to actually raise the bar and focus more on better customer service rather than pricing. And when people come to St. Martin, a lot of them want to actually have this cultural experience. They want to deal with the locals and the local car rental apart from the bigger franchises. And we would have a more direct contact with them and build a better relationship, so they can be, it's mostly, and to have this actually friendly island experience, because St. Martin is known as the friendly
mm-hmm.
island. Yeah, so they would feel more comfortable, like actually I would say, like borrowing a car from a friend. Yeah, so the process would be so simple and easy, and especially if they have any issues on the road or anything
mm-hmm.
or so on, it'll be very easy to get in touch with us instead of speaking to different employees every time you have a problem or so on. Yeah.
So I definitely want to learn more about your company, Global Rent-A-Car. You founded it, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
When did you start it? What made you start it?
Well, I have, I'm actually from Guyana, and I moved to St. Martin 10 years ago. Yeah, and I've started working in the car rental industry. So I basically have 10 years experience. I'm very good at it as well, and I have a lot of customer base, because a lot of people, when they return to St. Martin, because there are a lot of repeat tourists, visitors. So when they come back, they would like to, the way I've dealt with them, they would like to come back to me and deal with me again on the next time. So, and they would book directly through me as well. So instead of giving businesses to the other companies as well, and then sometimes, even though I deal with them so good, even though I move from one company to the next, they would move with me. They don't want to deal with anybody else or the company. They just want to deal with me. So they have that trust in me as well, and the passion to deal with me. So I figured if I would be putting so much into these other companies, and then sometimes the boss is there, the owners, they may not be on the same page as you are to give that kind of service as well, and to go that extra step to make the customers feel very comfortable and to please them. So I decided to actually open my own company and try to build on that.
Now, the most important question, what side of the road does St. Martin drive on?
It's the same as in the U.S. here. Yeah.
Sorry, so listeners, don't have to be afraid.
No, and it's very easy to drive, actually. It's one road that goes across the, around the island.
How long does it take to go around the whole island?
Well, I would say 2 hours, but if you want to make stops at all the beaches and so on, 3 hours or so. So within a day, you can basically cover everything.
Do you find, are most of your clients there to just rent it for the day, or are they there, they're staying a week?
Actually, well, renting a car in St. Martin is basically cheaper than taking taxis.
Oh, I see.
So most people prefer to rent a car when they're there, because one trip, taxi trip, could be like about $20, $30, $40, and then that's just maybe to go to a restaurant or a beach and back. And then if you want to explore the island, you can get a car for that same price per day. So they would, some of them who are not familiar with the island and they're a little bit scared of driving, they would rent it for a day or two or so on. But the majority would rent it for the entire time of their stay. So,
as part of the YLA Fellowship, you're placed, all the 10 fellows are all placed at 10 different companies throughout Pittsburgh, correct?
Actually, nine different companies. Two are placed at the same company.
Oh, okay. And which what company are you placed at? Can you tell us more about what you're doing there?
Well, my placement is Regency Global Transportation Group. That's a company that is based on the Premier Black Car Services and Transportation, with buses, limousines, and SUVs and so on. Yeah, and I'm actually learning their process and how they operate, from the reservations in terms of the dispatches and so on, how they manage the drivers and everything, and try to be on time and get everything coordinated. They also do events such as weddings and so on, so that's a little more technical thing where they have to make sure everything is all right. And they're doing a wonderful job there. The owner, Mr. Thomas Miller, he's a great guy, and the other employees there, they're all great and very welcoming towards me. Yeah, so they're trying their best to make me feel very comfortable and a part of the team. So it's a great experience.
Gail, did you have to try to find companies to match up the fellows? How did that process work?
We did do that. We received, now, one of our partners that I need to mention is Meridian International Center. And they went through, they had a huge job of sending all the information about potential fellows. And then we were asked, we got the information in August, our final placements. And then we have to read over the information and try to figure out what companies or nonprofits would be good matches for each fellow and their interests. And with Raju's case, he didn't want to go to a big national car rental company. So there really aren't companies in Pittsburgh that aren't national. So that's why we went to Regency Global Transportation, because they do a lot of the transportation for our organization. And I thought their customer service was really good, and that emphasis for Raju.
If our listeners would be interested in finding out more about the fellows or even meeting them, is there an opportunity for them to interact with them?
Yes, there is. Global Pittsburgh has a monthly networking event called First Thursdays. Our next one will be November 2nd. And it will be from 5:30 to 8, and we do that at Roland Seafood and Strip District.
Delicious.
And we do ask that people register for that in advance so that we are sure that we are prepared with our appetizers that we serve. And they could go to www.globalpittsburgh.org and register for that event there.
And Rajendra, if anyone wants to learn more about your company, what is the website or where can they find out more about that?
My website is globalcarssm.com, and they could also send an email to rent@globalcarssm.com. Yeah.
If you're just joining us, welcome back to the World Affairs Report. We're here with Rajendra Mohis from the Dutch island of St. Martin, here in Pittsburgh for 5 weeks as part of the Young Leaders of the Americas Initiative Professional Fellows Program. We're also joined by Gail Schrott, Director of the International Leaders Program at Global Pittsburgh. St. Martin is part of the Kingdom of the Netherlands and is a country on the southern part of a Caribbean island paired with St. Martin, a French overseas collectivity. The capital, Philipsburg, has cobblestone streets and colorful colonial-style buildings lining its Front Street shopping area. The port is also a very popular cruise ship stop. On 6th and 7th September 2017, the island was hit by Category 5 Hurricane Irma, which caused widespread and significant damage to buildings and infrastructure. Recovery costs are estimated to exceed $2.5 billion. 90% of buildings were damaged or had no roofs. Multiple people were killed or injured, and the majority of infrastructure was damaged. Rajendra, where were you when the hurricane hit?
I was in St. Martin at the time. Yes, I was home, and we actually prepared a lot for it.
Okay.
Everyone was actually on the island preparing for it because it was coming really bad, Category 5 we were preparing for. So we did our best to secure our home, vehicles and everything else and so on. But no matter how much you prepare, there's only so much you can do when something like this is happening. So it did have a devastating impact on everyone on the island. Some buildings were good, that were because when 22 years ago we were hit by Hurricane Lewis, everyone started rethinking the building structure and the infrastructure of the country. So they started building stronger, right, to prepare for another something like this again. And then the government as well, with the infrastructure, they started putting it on the ground. So it'll be easier to recover from this. And it was very devastating. Most of my vehicles, they got damaged as well.
Wow.
So, which was actually bad. When I get back, I'll have to repair some of them. Some of them are still good. But and people, with this, what happened here, with normally when there's a disaster, it brings people together as well. So everyone actually takes part in cleaning up and helping in the recovery process and rebuilding once again. So the process towards that is very fast-paced.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is working diligently towards that. And a lot of businesses right now are actually opened again. But we're just waiting on the airport. The airport sustained a lot of damages.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of it has opened to facilitate a few flights. Mm-hmm. And the cruise ships haven't started coming back yet, but they are hoping to return for November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so November.
Yeah. So other businesses haven't opened as yet who are capable of opening, who didn't sustain much damages. But they're just waiting for the tourists to come again and waiting for improved security as well, because they don't want to open and then be targeted for any looting or this kind of stuff. So people are just waiting for that. But despite all of the damages, everyone is really working towards getting the island back to normal, because life goes on. Yeah, you can't just wait for that. And we need the tourism again, because so once people start coming back, we need to have to be able to cater for them, whether they need a car rental, whether they're restaurants or hotels that they need as well. So some hotels have opened already. A lot of restaurants have opened as well, and different companies for some shopping, but not much. The grocery stores, a lot of them have opened. A lot of them sustained some damages and losses as a result of the looting. But everyone is working towards that.
So. Is the looting still going on? Was it a real threat?
No, it was just for a period of time, because people, I guess, weren't sure what was happening. Some of the stores that got some damage, people started venturing into the stores to just take stuff out. Then people eventually started breaking in, because relief supplies were, especially on the Dutch side, was a little slow towards reaching the people. On the French side, it was a little better and much more coordinating. Yeah, but on the Dutch side, it was very slow, and people were getting really frustrated. Yeah, so, but for now though, since the stores have started opening back, people are being able to purchase foodstuff and other supplies, so it's everything is moving back to normal. They're just waiting for building materials now to come in so they can start rebuilding.
Has electricity been restored and
yes.
water? And
yes, it was very impressive. Some areas got electricity back within a week. Electricity and water. Some took longer than others, like 2 to 3 weeks, but they were working, testing everything and so on, because most of the things are on the ground, and since I said they were more prepared for this with the infrastructure, and so everywhere now has electricity and water.
Yeah. To be honest, it has been difficult for me to find out information about St. Martin post-Hurricane Irma, aside from articles that were written maybe the day or two after the hurricane hit. Mm. What else can you share with us about the current relief efforts? What is going on right now on the ground?
Well, right now the Red Cross is facilitating some of the relief efforts. There were some shelters that they had as distribution location to help distribute some of the stuff. But it was very difficult for people to actually get to these places. They weren't so proactive in terms of going to each community to share the stuff. And even if they went, it wasn't enough. They would give like 2 bottles of water sometimes to some of the families, and that's like very frustrating. Yeah, so they're actually the planning and organization of that was very slow at the beginning, and I believe it was due to the government not playing a more active role into that. Apart from the French side, I drove there after, because I went to the gas station and so on, and I saw a lot of active relief efforts mm-hmm. there where there were all day they were distributing supplies to people all around. And then, but the Dutch side, it kind of got there a little bit and they started to put it in different strategic locations. But since people got their cars damaged, there was not much transportation and so on, it was very difficult. Yeah, but for now, I believe most of the stuff, people are being able to get stuff back, and especially once the stores are open. So that is really good.
How long, the night of the hurricane, or I believe maybe the morning of the hurricane, how long did it take for it to pass over the island?
Well, it took just about, I would say, 2 hours, yeah, or a little less, because there were the effects at first, but then the mm-hmm. actual hurricane, about 2 hours. And it was very quick and moving. Had it stayed any longer, mm-hmm. I think we would have sustained a lot more damages mm-hmm. and maybe a lot more lives would have lost mm-hmm. as well, because with some of the hotels, people were trapped in rooms because a lot of people vacated their home and went to hotels to think they were much safer there, that it would be a stronger structure. But some parts of the hotel were not as strong as others, and a lot of people end up being trapped in their rooms. So when the eye was passing, it actually eased up for 15 minutes or so, and got a lot of stories when they managed to escape from those rooms to go to a much safer place for the second passing.
I read online that the airport is now open for commercial flights, and the cruise ships will return in about probably the middle of November, they're saying.
Yes.
Is that a hopeful sign for you? Do you think that it reflects the accurate status of the island, or should we wait?
Yeah, that is actually very, very hopeful. And since everyone is working towards restoring everything back to normal, the streets have cleared. Most of the debris are gone, and they're working towards removing them from the island, some of it as well. And with the airport, once flights are coming in back, that's a very good thing. So business can start having revenue and be able to regenerate and be able to rebuild again, yeah, from that revenue, because sometimes some people may not be insured and they would need this added income now to be able to help rebuild. So that's actually a good sign. And once the cruise ships started coming in again, that would be very helpful. The mostly Front Street and Back Street in Phillipsburg, the mm-hmm. shopping center there, most of the stores would start to open again. So it would start to get back to normal.
So would you encourage our listeners to go ahead and go come to St. Martin?
Definitely, yeah. Everyone, they can just, if you have your trips planned already, you don't need to cancel. Yeah, you can still go down. There are hotels, there are everything. There are a lot of restaurants as well that are opened, so you can have your transportation from the car rentals, plus you can have food, and you can still go around and see the island as you would want to, because the cleanup effort has been very good at this point. Most places have already cleaned up as well. Yeah.
Gail, how long was the process between, or if there was a process between deciding to be a host city for this fellowship and actually receiving the visitors?
We applied late last year, and then we were selected in December, we knew. And then we had our first orientation with the other cities in February. So it was pretty quick. And then the big process was waiting. And for the application process to be completed, for the assignments to be made. And then, you know, the arrival was a big deal, too, mm-hmm. in our community.
As we say, hurry up and wait,
yes,
right?
That's what it was.
And how long have you been with Global Pittsburgh?
I've been with the organization for 28 years.
So what are some of the changes you've seen in terms of Pittsburgh being a welcoming city and Pittsburgh being a global city?
I think that in the time that I've been with the organization, all of the innovation and Pittsburgh as a center for innovation has transformed the city and also transformed the types of visitors we're getting. So we're getting many more people looking at energy and plus with shale development. So it's transformed that to the types of visitors we're getting. I find that the State Department is selecting some pretty impressive mm-hmm. people to be the participants in their exchange programs. And, you know, we see a lot more linkages coming out of the programs.
Well, I wish we could continue this conversation, but unfortunately our time is up. You've been listening to AM 1410 KQV in the World Affairs Report. Our guest today has been Rajendra Mohis, a fellow from the prestigious Young Leaders of the Americas Initiative, joined by Gail Schroeder, director of the International Leaders Program at Global Pittsburgh. And we've been talking about entrepreneurship, Pittsburgh as a global city, and hurricane relief efforts in the Caribbean. This is Anna Harrison, and it has been my pleasure to be your host for this week's program. We hope you'll join us next week, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the World Affairs Report, brought to you by the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh in cooperation with KQV News Radio. The World Affairs Council is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that has been bringing the world to Pittsburgh for over 80 years. To learn more about the council and upcoming events, please visit worldpittsburgh.org. Be with us again next week when we take a 30-minute look at issues of global importance.
Okay, you about ready to get your first treatment?
Yes, Doctor.
Joanne is fighting her cancer with radiation. She's also fighting it with big data.
Wait till you see how easy this is. You're going to do great.
The Highmark Cancer Collaborative works with oncologists like Joanne's to provide the latest data on proven treatment options, giving Joanne the plan she needs to win. Creating new standards in cancer care is living proof. Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield together with Allegheny Health Network. Visit HighmarkLivingProof.com to learn more.
Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield supports the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh's Global Fluency Training for Educators, a cross-cultural competence session for teachers to gain practical tools to better address multicultural diversity in classrooms. To learn more, visit WorldPittsburgh.org.